knows what we need. We'd really be in a fix if we were trying to figure it out. So many different needs here today. But the Lord knows what we need. I want to thank the Lord and each and every one that's been praying for us. Don't stop. Amen. Prayers are effectual. The Lord is helping us out. I've been thinking about things that make a difference and that revolutionize and change and many times redefine for us, clarify situations. We don't know exactly when the wheel came into existence. I've seen some pictures, crude wooden wheels. But I believe it's all right to imagine that someone was laboring, pushing their sled along, and maybe got to rolling some logs, and put that all together, sawed him off a slab, said, "This sure changes things." And I'm sure when his neighbors saw that, they took right to it and began to perfect it. Maybe those first wheels were just whatever shape your log was, but that better than slide. Maybe they walked along, but someone began to look at that, no doubt, and said, "Well, if we trued this thing up, we could really move on." And that redefined working, the wheel. We had to look at it a different way after that. Some of the toil was lifted out. And on it goes. Different, I want to think of them as pioneers, forgers. Thank God for men and women like that. There'll always be men and women who, through their desire and conviction and their innate abilities, they'll press every known out into the unknown. And thus they'll define for us things that are. Courage, bravery, and boldness enter into this picture too. When men's desires with their convictions and abilities are firmly coupled in God, this is the makings of the kind of substance that will touch the throne of God. It'll secure God's attention. And it'll also bring the answers to our prayers. We're talking about faith this morning. The Lord stirred on our heart early today about faith. And we've heard about the last frontier. Someone said the space race is the last frontier. Men are pressing along and making some amazing and astounding discoveries and revelations that are redefining our lives. This microwave age. Everything miniaturized right down to where it'll fit on your thumbnail and still be a lot of room. Redefining things. And I thought, Lord, surely we have not explored the realms of faith and exhausted the things that you want to reveal to your people. Amen. I believe we could say we're just scratching the surface. We're probably somewhere back there with the WAP wheels. Praise God. But that's better than just sliding along with nothing. But we sure want to improve, don't we? We want to get to moving along and moving right along and claiming the promises of God and getting the results and experiencing the blessings. I do. And may God give us some pioneers. That rugged caliber of men and women who claim the promises of God, who step out on the plane of faith and obtain the inheritance and the blessings. That'll redefine it for all of us, won't it? We can't stay in the same place when it's like that. We have to move on. God hates the day. These will be familiar scriptures. But I trust the Lord will do some redefining for us all today. That we'll get a fresh hold today. That we'll get an inspiration in our souls today. I believe faith, simple trust in God, is at a low ebb. About like those first wheels. Just kind of whopping along. God wants to smooth us out some. Amen. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and as a thought, we might like to focus on the spiritual frontiers. And all along, I've discovered as I began looking into the Word of God that there have been those, and they exist, and many times they drop out into oblivion of history, and we hardly hear about them, but there have been men and women who dared to push, as it were, the boundaries, to reset the bounds as far as faith in God, to challenge us all and cause us to look beyond our present circumstance and look unto God with all our hearts. Many times it's the present distress, it's the present circumstance that veils the mighty power of God, and we cannot see, we cannot get to the one who is able to help us. But I trust today that we'll be stirred to action and responsibility, and that we'll push. They have an expression in the space age race, and they call it pressing the envelope. And these men are, with each achievement, not resting on the laurels of that achievement, but they begin to wonder, what else can we do? How much farther can we go? What else is out there? And I thought, Lord, we could use this kind of thinking. What else can we do? What else is out there? What else is here for us to accomplish? Let's press and reset the boundaries, praise the Lord. Maybe the line is right here, according to your faith. But who in here today doesn't want that line moved? Let's move that line out a little further. Let's get it further out yet. Let's get it way out in front. And let's see the great God that we serve, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Sometimes the line is in too close, and we need to press up against it and stretch it and stretch it. And we'll find amazingly so that there's plenty of room, and God is not exhausted with one blessing or a million and one blessings. It doesn't hurt God at all. He doesn't have to recuperate like we do. He doesn't have to go back and refresh himself and get a fresh load. Sometimes we can exhaust the situation. Maybe they're serving a particularly appetizing meal, and we have first servings and second servings, and oh, I'm so ashamed, but I've got to have a third serving. Well, the Lord wants us to get an appetite for Him. He wants us to get a desire for Him. Get a first serving, praise the Lord, and that was good. Get a second serving, praise the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Come on, get a third helping and a fourth. You won't exhaust God, and every successive blessing is better than the one you had before. May God help us, encourage us, and move us on. We want to get the answers to our prayers. Let's press the envelope now. Let's press it. Let's expand it by the help and grace of God. Now faith, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now some names come up. Someone help us read now, starting at the 4th verse. I want to look at some names.
By faith, Abel.
Abel. I want to hold that name in your mind. Abel, read.
Offered more unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks.
Praise the Lord. Abel, now we got him on the picture. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we go back to the story just briefly. And they both brought before the Lord. One brought of his herd, his flocks, and other of the ground. But the Lord looked on, one with favor, not one not with favor. The thought here is that he obtained a witness that he was righteous. Had to press something there for us here. What we offer to God and what we bring to God, the quality of it, all makes the difference to where we stand. Many times it's the difference between getting an audience with God and not having an audience with God. What we bring, the kind of sacrifice. The poet said, are we bringing the gifts of true love to the Savior? Are we honoring Christ? Are we actually, sincerely, every day, pressing this kind of an envelope, pressing this kind of a place? Oh, it's outside of the assembly here. It's on the job. It's in the home. It's in our workplace and at school. This is important. We want an audience with God. We're going to have to press in these areas. Gifts of true love. Gifts of devotion. Gifts of sincerity. Oh, glory to God. Surely we'll come into His presence and feel His mighty blessings upon us. Abel did this. I'm going to say something here. Once a line is established, God help us. It is surely against us to live below that line. Amen. To live below that line. You can go back to kerosene burners if you want to. See? It was a time when that changed and redefined how we would live and how our lives would be. Kerosene burners, just turn them on and it's so nice. And you can go back there. But we've advanced beyond that point. There's no need to go back to kerosene burners. Maybe, well, even out on the camp field now, they've gotten pretty sophisticated. You understand what we're saying? The line has already been established. Let's not go back. Let's go forward. Oh, in a natural, temporal sense. But I want our minds to channel in to the spiritual area of moving forward and at least attaining to that which is already established and living there. And then, you know, after a while, after you've enjoyed the blessings of God in an area, you'll begin to say, I wonder what else is out there. Amen. I wonder what else is out there. He did this, and He did this, and I wonder what else is out there. And that's been God's pattern with His people down through time. David said, I slew the lion and the bear. I wonder what else is out there. Glory be to God. Come on, send it on. We're ready for it. Amen. Stretch the limits. Press the envelope. Redefine what it means to trust God. Redefine it for a generation that is bombarded and being deluged on every side by scientific gains. Is it still safe to trust God? We need to redefine these barriers and boundaries, if there are any. And if they are, surely we need to know where they are so we know how to function in this time. If God has reached an end of His resources to His people, we need to know about it. Of all the people, we need to know about it. But oh, David said, I killed the lion and the bear. By the time Goliath came along, he was fodder. Amen. We'll chew him up too. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy who? The armies of the living God. Come on, let's press. The armies were held back with fear. But there was one who was willing to press this envelope a little further to take on Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts. Not a dinky, dinky, puny, scrawny few hosts. Amen. Lord of hosts. Can't number that. Host. I see vacancies out here this morning. But the Lord is the Lord of hosts. Abel obtained a witness. Read on, please. 5.
By which Enoch was translated. Should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Look at that. Enoch pleased God. We need to work on that. Pleasing God. Amen. Work on pleasing God. When a man's ways please God, Lord takes care of our enemies, doesn't He? We get it the opposite. We're trying to work with the enemies and not having much success. Need to work on pleasing God, and we'll have more success with our enemies. Amen. I'm doing this to keep my enemies from fooling me and tricking me. You're going the wrong way. When a man's ways please God, God will deal with the enemies. Amen. You don't have to keep a list anymore. You don't have to wonder who's watching your back. God's watching my back. Amen. Enoch did this for us. He pressed it on out, didn't he? Praise God. It said God took him. He was not found, for God took him. That's precious to me. Let's read on. Underneath. Okay, good. That's what I need. I don't need this cold, but I need a little of it. Read on, please. Without faith.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Lord, help us now.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
All right, now, notice Noah. We don't want to go past the sixth verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Just let that stay right there. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Whew. Who ever seen such a thing? Who ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever known it to be? Can you imagine what Noah was up against? Things not seen yet. Nobody ever saw it before. No one's done it. There are times when it's to our advantage to stay with those things that are proven and tried. And then there are other times when our desires are whetted and our love, and I like to kind of think of it as our adventurous part of us in God. Don't you have an adventurous part? Praise the Lord, I do. Yes. Praise God. Don't you have just a little something in you that you read the Holy Scriptures and a part in you said, "Woo, look at that." And it stirs a little adventure in you to wonder, "Now, Lord, that is Peter and Paul. What about me, Lord?" Dare we have that kind of adventure in our souls? Dare we not have it? Dare we not have it? We'll die if we lose our adventure. We'll die if we lose it. Things not seen. God wasn't dealing with anyone else like he was dealing with Noah. He didn't have a consensus. He couldn't get a board meeting and say, "Now don't you brethren see what I'm talking about?" Didn't have that support. It's good when you can get it. But what if it isn't there? God help us. Things not seen. We'll just trust our big God and press the envelope a little more. We'll just press our case. We'll just put our petition on the line. We'll just be fools for Christ if that's what it has to be. You know, I'm amazed. Columbia, Discoverer, Atlantis, then there's Challenger. It blew up. Blew up. There was a loss of lives. You know what they did? They got a term they used. They said they rolled heads. That means whoever was responsible for that going right, you're accountable. You are accountable. What went wrong? They went from the very top, had a shake-up of organization. Some folks got fired. Come on now. It's important enough to them to dig till they got to the root of the problem. Why did that ship blow up? What went wrong? They dug and dug and dug and decided, "We found the trouble. We've got the answer. We're going again." Oh, saints. I wonder many times we get to a place where things look like they blow up. Boom! Get hit by nothing, see. I I knew they shouldn't have been doing that. I knew it. I just knew it. I just felt it in my heart. You could be a part of the problem. Amen. You could be a part of the problem. Why it blew up? Why weren't you with us? Why weren't you giving everything you had to see it successfully through? You could be part of the problem. It blew up. Well, I'm sure a number were ready to can everything. Let's stop this quest. How can we stop? How can we stop, saints? Somebody dies or somebody didn't pull through, and we really thought the faith was intense enough, and we really felt that of all, this would surely be the time. But they didn't pull through. I say, let's roll some heads and let's dig through it and let's search it out and let's go again. Amen. Let's go again. Let's not break faith. Let's not lose out here. Oh, they went again, didn't they? This time they went over everything, piece by piece, little by little, and seal by seal, and bolt by bolt, and nut by nut, and washer by washer, and rivet by rivet, if you have to. This has got to go. And let me tell you something. When that next flight went off, and went off just as beautiful, and those that died were redeemed. Can you see something here? Those that dared and took the stand and obeyed the scriptures, did all they understood, and maybe didn't seeming to make it in our way of understanding, are redeemed when we continue on and achieve successes and blessings. It's the right direction. It's the right stand. It's the right place. We can't move from it. Can't move. God help us. What else do we have? Where shall we go? Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Medical science does not have the words of eternal life. We can't go there. We're not going to find the blessing there. Where can we go? God help us all. Noah moved out by faith. Hadn't seen anything, hadn't heard anything like this. And by which he condemned the world. Oh, it redefined some things, didn't it? That men ought to believe God. Men ought to trust God at his word. Read on now.
By faith Abraham, he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed.
All right.
Not knowing whither he went.
There we are again. Abraham. He obeyed. Didn't know just where he was going. The key here looks like to me it's obeying God. Obedience. He obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Now that kind of sets the standard real high on taking a step, not knowing altogether where I'm going, but being led by the Spirit of God. Not knowing where I'm going. I couldn't tell you right now, but there's something moving me on. It's something stirring in my soul, and I feel the hand of the Lord guiding me in this direction. You know, sometimes, yes, we can miss this, and we can get in the way with our own desires and kind of get in a trouble place sometimes. But I want to encourage you today that unless we follow like this, we'll never perfect and get in the place where we can clearly know that God is leading us. It would never take steps. You never know what it is. You never understand how it works, sitting back, thinking about it, and not doing it. God help us. It's exciting, isn't it? I wonder what's out there. Amen. I wonder what all God wants to do for the church of God today. I wonder what all He'll do in you and me as we begin to move out and trust Him and obey Him and take Him at His word and bring the right kind of sacrifices. I wonder what's out there. Do you know men are dreaming of colonizing space? You know they've got on the drawing boards now how they're actually going to do it? We've got a lot more than that. Oh, we've got a lot more than that. And they call space the last frontier, but you think about faith, you couldn't say the last, because the more you move in God, the more He opens up. The more He reveals, the more He clarifies. And everything that's been done up to this time takes on a greater endearment to us because God is confirming that He's working with us. Praise the Lord. We need this, folks. What would the apostles have been like to go out and preach a dynamic message of deliverance and nobody got delivered of devils? What would it have been like to stand up and preach that God's power is able to heal the body and nobody ever got healed? Wouldn't have been much, would it? Well, that fellow had a pretty good thought, didn't he? Oh, that was a good thought he had. No, demonstration and power of the gospel. One place he asked the question, do we need letters of commendation from you? Do we need you to write us a letter and say, this is Brother Paul? Doesn't the Holy Ghost show who I am? Doesn't the manifestations of God reveal who we are? We apostles, aren't you convinced by the power in the midst? Oh, it'll still be the power in the midst that convinces and makes us credible. Amen. Without it, we're just theory men. Theory. God help us. I've been studying the evolution. I don't see one. Of our flyers we give out for meetings. I've got some old ones. You know what they say? They say something like this. Gospel meeting. 3 services a day. Salvation, justification, sanctification, divine healing. That's what they say. I've been watching the evolution of these things. I got a hold of one that said, meeting. Welcome. And the time. Amen. That's about it. Time. I said, Lord, what's happening here? What happened to justification? Sanctification? Divine healing? What was the time when they put it on that flyer and swing it out through the neighborhood? You know, folks would read divine healing. Let me take this little paper and see if it's for real. I'm going down there. Time to press the envelope. Will it do it for us? Has God dried up? Is He through? Some have decided God is through. He did it for them, but He won't do it for us. Abraham obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in a land, in the land of promise. Read, please.
As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
Okay, keep going.
He looked for a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
Keep reading now.
Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Hold it. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. God's promises are true. He set His bow in the sky. And He made a promise after the flood that I'll never do this again this way. Oh, He's faithful to His promise. And then Joseph comes along and his father fixes him a coat of many colors. I got a thought out of that, that Joseph being used as he was and how God revealed things to him, that Joseph's coat of many colors was a rainbow of sorts. And it represented the promises of God, the true promises of God, and how Joseph was able to see things down the line and hold to them and all the troubles and hardships he got into. But there everything just came right down the line like God said. Listen, because she judged him faithful who had promised. This was Sarah. She judged God faithful. And she was able to receive the promise. She judged God faithful. God hadn't taken a leave. God hasn't moved at all. I read a little quote. Have you been missing God? Then it had dot, 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 dot. Who moved? Have you been missing God? Have you just gotten down to form and
routine and just kind of going along in another assembly meeting? Or are you full of anticipation? Are you eager to see the Lord save and heal and sanctify and deliver? Do you have that kind of charge within your soul this morning that this will not be just another meeting, but it'll be a time for God to confirm His people with signs and wonders and blessings of every kind? Oh, I do. Is that too much to hope for? Is that too much to reach for? Press! Press glory to God. There'll always be the spectators who come along to see if He'll do it. But we need individuals in the midst who know He'll do it and can do it and will glorify His name. Amen. I think many times we have more spectators than anything else. That makes the load heavy. The load real heavy. Let's read on now.
Therefore sprang there even of one.
See?
As good as dead.
Good as dead.
So many of the stars of the sky in multitude. And as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable.
Now you know, just looking at the scripture this morning, our hearts ought to be stirred. Yes. Sprang. It sprang forth because she judged Him faithful. From that kind of pressing the frontier, from that kind of courage, from that kind of boldness. Many came forth as multitudes, like the stars in the sky and the sand by the sea. Innumerable. All it takes is for one full of courage. Full of, they got a saying that these astronaut fellas got the right stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It may take some special qualifications to put on all that, get in there and go up. But I'm going to tell you the right stuff is in the church of God. The right stuff. The thing that's needed is right here. It needs to be stirred. We need to recognize that God has not put a moratorium on anything. The Lord hadn't put anything in a hole or a recessed place. He has not limited anything that He has offered to His people at any time. And yet He's saying, I have this for you, but you haven't touched this yet. Amen. You haven't touched it yet. Aren't you hungry? Praise God. Somebody said, my stomach is telling me it's time to eat. Oh, your soul ought to be growling and moaning and telling you, it's time to eat. It's time to eat meat, the meat that Jesus spoke of, that you know not of. But we need to get acquainted with it. We need to get acquainted with that which is really substance, that really sustains the inner man, that energizes and inspires us to go forth and believe the gospel, do exploits in His name. We need that part of our lives energized. Amen. Need to get acquainted with that kind of meat. The kind of meat that perisheth not. Amen. Amen. Let's move down now. 13th verse says, they all died in faith. Read.
Not having received the promise.
But.
Having seen them afar off.
Look at that.
Were persuaded of them. And embraced them. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth.
You see. Hold it, please. You see, they died in faith. They didn't receive the promises, but look at the position. They were persuaded by them, of them. They embraced them. That encourages me. It encourages me to put it in a simple word. Hold on. Hold on, glory to God. Get a hold of the promises of God and hold on. So many times we count out when it isn't out, if we just hold on. What is this faith thing anyway? Amen. But a pressing the limits. But a pressing. Oh God. We're looking beyond what our eyes and our ears and our understanding reveal to us. We better. Because my eyes and my ears and my understanding aren't necessarily of faith. It can be when we get a good understanding. Because many times,
the very thing we're praying about and praying for, when it gets in the most crucial places, saints ought to start shouting. Hey, but you're shouting and they're about to leave out. No, the battle's just turning now. Amen. The battle's turning now, but they're worse than they've ever been. I said the battle's turning. We got the victory. Lord, help us now. See what I mean? We're slow to get that. We're slow to allow our intellect to say, praise God. Something's hindering me from saying, praise the Lord. We got the victory. Yeah, I know where you are. We all battling the same battle. The same devil that'll put ice water on you. He'll put ice water on me. He'll clamp our mouths shut. He will not allow us to praise God in the face of adversity. He will not allow us to say this reverse is only temporary. The victory's yet ahead. What is faith anyway? God help us now. Oh, but you may look like a fool. If the battle doesn't come out, then I'll be a fool for Christ. Amen. Amen. Who do you think gets the promises? The one that says at the crux of the battle is the Lord's, the victory's mine, or the one that says, I'm just going to wait and see what happens? All right. Who do you think is going to get the blessing? That fellow that laid back? See, I'm not going to really commit. That way, you know, if it don't go right. Another one says, if I perish, I perish. Now I want to make something clear. I believe there has to be a life here. And I believe the saints have the life. You understand what I'm saying? We're not novices and we're not in a place where we never heard this. We have the life. Now let's press the envelope. The battle is the Lord's and the victory is mine. Oh, how can we sing that song? The victory is mine. The victory is mine through Jesus, my Lord. Let's just light up a course of that. The victory is mine. Believe it. See? Obeying his word. That's enough right there. He conquers the foe. Wherever I go. Are you? Sure you are. Amen. Isn't that enough right there? See what I mean? Amen. The saints went to pray for one of the brethren one time. And somebody struck up the chorus of He is Just the Same Today. They sang it. The Lord anointed it. They finished and the brother said, well, you all can go home. So we came to pray for it. He said, the work is done. The work is done. I got a hold of it. He is just the same today. Oh, saints, the Lord hasn't withdrawn. His arm is not short. His ear is not heavy. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter right now. We'll read a little bit here. I don't know how long we'll be up. I hope we get something. Someone start. Yes, please.
Now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Yes.
For read. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
That's all we need to know, folks.
And I was with you in weakness. And
saw
in
you. Everything.
Much
yes.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but no. A demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Yes, Lord. Now watch.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men. It should not rest in the catchy sayings, or how well and eloquent we might be able to deliver. Your faith shouldn't rest in that. long after the preacher's through and long after the meeting closes out. You need something where you can face the everyday life and those everyday things that we have to face, every one of us. Your faith should not rest in men or the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Think of that, in the power of God, knowing that He's able. Oh, I needed the preacher so bad, but I don't know where the preacher was, but I got in touch with God. See what I mean? Oh, we got word to him that by the time he came, everything was well under control. And he just gave the benediction. Amen. Preacher got there in time to give the benediction. The work is done. I believe in the power of God. That's why we get saved, and that's why we live the kind of life we live. That's why we break free from all entanglements and binds and bondages, that the Lord might have the total sway in the range of my life. That's why we do it, folks. Somebody says, I was wondering why we did all that. That's why. We want the Lord to have a clear channel to work in. If it comes down, I need the Lord, or there's a need or a situation where we need God's presence, I don't want Him to say, hold it, there's something about you that I just can't bless you like I want to. No.
There are the princes of this world that come to naught.
Keep reading.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Yes, Lord.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Yes.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Well, let me tell you about the wisdom of the world. They are well saturated and situated in their belief system, their wisdom, their learning, their knowledge, their abilities. But the Lord has left enough things around and about each of us that their wisdom can't do anything with. That their abilities can do nothing at all with. Now, why do you think He'd do that? Why do you think the Lord would leave some situations that the wisdom of man cannot reach? Come on, that's for us, isn't it? That's for us. That's our place now. You fellas, get back. We've done all we can do. Get back.
Yes, amen.
Let the saints pray. Glory to God. God's wise, isn't it?
Yes,
He is. These cases that we're cringing for are our day. This is our day. They can't do anything with it. They've already admitted we don't know what to do. And look what we have. I wonder what's out there. I wonder what He wants to do with this. Lord, You've allowed it to be in our midst. You've allowed it to cross our path. Do we cross on the other side of the road? Too heavy for me. The next verse blesses my soul. Ninth verse.
But as it is written, I have not seen.
Thank God.
Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love.
Let me tell you something. The natural eye, the human eye, doesn't see this, doesn't know this, can't hear this, can't get a hold of it. They're going into a place of higher learning, a university hospital, and talk to some of those folk. They're scientists. They're deeply involved in what they do. Many of them are very, very sincere. Dedicated. They believe fully in everything they do. Couldn't be there if they didn't. And yet if you go in there and you say something like, the Lord will raise him up, you get laughed at. You get laughed at. I have not seen. They can't open up a book and discover how this works. They can't take a microscope and find the soul. Amen. They can't, after they cut him open and take him apart, they still can't find the soul. Amen.
what we have dealing with the soul.
That's right.
God, help us now. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. Hadn't entered into the heart of man. It isn't something that man in his state and his own glory is going to come into the knowledge of eventually. You know what they're doing? Wrapping bodies in aluminum foil and freezing them against the day when they find the cure for the thing that caused them to die. That's happening now. Deep freeze. Right at the point of death. They have a process of gradually freezing the body, slowing all the processes, and they say, when we get the cure to what killed them, we'll take them out of deep freeze. Now, don't ask me how they're going to do this. That's what they say.
Right.
And thaw them out and get them going again. I have not seen. Ear hadn't entered the ears, don't know, and hadn't entered to the hearts of men how God operates. This is man's operations. He's trying. Yeah, if we have to just give credit, we'd say, well, he's trying. Bless God, don't be freezing me. Amen. The Lord don't raise me up, turn me loose. Turn me loose. Don't freeze me. We don't need that. We have a clear understanding. And it's a blessing when the Lord lets us know. And we pray up to that place. And he lets us know, my will be done. I'm not going to heal him this time. I want him with me. And we can just take our hands off of him. And sing the victor's song. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. Shout and sing the victor's song. There's no defeat here. This is just exactly the way he said it would be. Amen. And then we know times when because of his children cutting right across death, commanding death to hold back, that death has had to step back. And God gives some more time. We shout over that too, don't we? God gave us some more time, praise his name. But we know we got to get out of here. Keep your soul in shape to get out of here, folks. Keep it in shape. But these things are not to hover over us as frightful things, fearful things. Paul said he was in a strait. He said, I want to go and be with the Lord. I'm ready to get out of here. And I can kind of understand that at times. After you labor a certain amount of time, you say, oh Lord, I want to see the other side now.
Yeah.
Amen. I said, no, not yet. You got to stay here a while longer. And while you stay here, stay saved. Don't just stay around here and don't be saved. That's not helping you. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It sounds like the Spirit wants to take us by the hand and say, let's go search some deep things. Let's search some deeper things. Let's move on in God. Oh Lord, will you help us now? Help us out. The deep things of God. And the 12th verse says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Get that. For they are foolishness unto him. Foolishness unto him. Oh God, can he know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Lord, help us. What man? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that sounds like a whole different plane, a whole different frame, isn't it? Frame where the mind of Christ is. The Apostle Paul
dwelled, he lived out on that plain. And not only him, but there are saints of God that live out on that plain, the mind of God. Oh, that we would begin to feel an urgency to operate out of the mind of God. Amen. 13th of Matthew, 10th verse now. We are trying to round it up a little bit. That's it. Read.
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
There's something. I've given it to you to know the mysteries of the things of the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. I've given it to you. You disciples, I want you to be in the know. Operating in that place. Dwelling in that place. Believing from that place. That is, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Read on.
But to them it is not given.
Not given to them. We read about it because the natural man can't receive it anyway. Read.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not.
They see not.
And hearing
they hear not.
Neither do they
understand. They don't understand. Read.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear.
Yes.
Do you
not understand?
And seeing ye shall see.
You'll see.
And shall not
but not perceive. Now listen at this verse. This next verse. Read.
For this people's heart is waxed gross.
Waxed. Waxed gross. Grossness. Has grown gross. Has become. I like to think of this as a kind of a calloused place. Kind of a hardened place. No longer receptive. No longer yielded. Because of some of the things we said earlier. Not continuing to bring gifts of true love to the Savior. Not continuing to be right up on that day by day walk with God. And now looseness has gotten in. And unbelief is rampant. Just sheer unbelief. That's all it is. Unbelief. Unwarranted. Unmerited. Undeserved. Our Lord does not deserve unbelief. He deserves our utmost belief and obedience. Remember Jesus many times would respond, believest thou that I can do this? Almost as if his heart were aching. Almost as if his heart was aching. Do you believe I can do it? Lord, do you believe I can do it? Well, I hope you can. I mean, I'd really be thankful if you could. But I can understand if you don't. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. God help us to bump up against these places. Who is this uncircumcised? Proven in past blessings and experiences only whet our appetites. When my little son started out, to drink an 8-ounce bottle was a chore. Boy, he'd be full. Now he takes an 8-ounce and goes, I want some more. You know what I'm talking to? You know how these little fellas do it. He's just not going to stay on that limited diet. He's going to begin to crave. And then one day, sitting on your lap, he just reaches into your plate, gets what he wants, and starts eating. And you say, well, my. I believe he wants to eat. Praise God. The people of God got to move out of baby bottle stage. Move out of milk stage. I just give you milk because you can't stand meat. I really want to give you meat. Amen. Oh, listen. Somebody said once you start feeding them from the table, you can forget that pablum. It wasn't much good anyway. It just brought you to a place where you could take something stronger.
That's right.
You ever tasted that stuff? I was concerned about my little children. I said, I wonder how good it is. Boy, got me a big old spoon of it. And woo! Pablum. I'm glad I don't have to have a diet of that stuff. Well, they seemed to enjoy it. They smacked their lips and all, and smiling. But once they taste table food, goodbye, Pablum. Goodbye. You opened up something now. Once we begin to experience God's blessings, His presence, His power, and we begin to come alive to who He is and what He can do and what our inheritance in Him is. Goodbye, Pablum. Goodbye. Amen. I appreciate it. Home, other places too. Different ones will come up and sit on the altar. And we have guests often. And hey, that's the part they wonder what's going on. So I take time to explain to the folks that these folks are sick. Praise God, I love this. These folks have different afflictions and sicknesses. And they're presenting themselves before the great God of heaven to be healed today. Boy, they look near. That's not too strong, folks. You come to be blessed. Jesus is our doctor. Amen. He's everything we need. They bring the little babies and had them up here. They come, young, old, everybody. And we say, come on. Come on. That's the kind of confidence we have. That's what we've learned to believe. That's where we're living. This is our reality now. I never once get jittery and think about Tylenol. Amen. Better make it out to the emergency room. Why? We've got something better than that. You ever been to an emergency room? You hurry up and get in there and then you wait. I'm telling you. The emergency room folks are lined up. Get in line. Hey, but I'm hurting bad. Get in line. But I've seen them get in line and wait. Emergency. I've also seen them say, I'm sick, brother. I'm bad sick. I want prayer. A little prayer didn't sound like a whole lot. And I've seen them say, thank the Lord. I say, are you, what happened? I'm better, I'm well. That's our emergency room. Go on back to sleep. Go right on back to sleep. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. No slings or nothing, just go on back to sleep. We need the Lord to help us, I trust. That we got the thought this morning. This frontier. And already these kind of lines have been drawn all around us. Some of us in here know of it. We're there. Saw it take place. Have heard about it. Have lived in the presence of it. Now let's push. Scripture says let's press. Press. Pressing. Amen. Where we leave off.
This people's heart is waxed dry.
Listen now. Heard it so much till a dullness, just dull of hearing. When you hear something and you fail to act upon it, the mind has a mechanism in it that says, cut it off. You're not going to do it anyway. You ever tried to talk with someone and they really didn't want to do or accept what you were saying, and they just kind of stood there and you knew they weren't hearing? Children do that real good. Just, don't you hear it? Cut you off. Dull. And you cut the Lord off time and time again and you get dull. You get dull. There's a dullness that comes over you. Read.
Their eyes, they have closed.
Notice. They closed their eyes. They did it. Read.
Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears.
Lord Jesus.
And should be converted, and I should heal.
They close their eyes. You know we'll have to move up. Do you know in the presence of these attainments of faith and the promises that are in the Word of God and the holy godly lives in the midst, we can't stay in the same place that we were.
No.
We have to move up. So they there's a group here, they close their eyes. If I don't see it, I don't have to do it. God help us. But oh, there's another company here that I'm interested in, the 16th verse.
Blessed are your eyes.
They see.
And your ears.
For they hear. Oh, God has opened up and is opening up in this day of sweeping unbelief. And I'm going to say this again and again and again, that lacks of real power and manifestings of the things of God are the cause for a lot of problems and troubles. When it comes down to your word versus mine, we are equal. But when the Holy Ghost steps in and gives an answer by fire, that settles it. You see where we are? I can't stay here. Lord, I must move on now. I've got to move on here. Bless my soul today. Bless me in the meeting. Lord, open me up as never before. Help me, Lord, to lay hold on the promises. Help me, Jesus, to abide in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We have the right stuff. But we must act upon it. We must move in that direction. Pray for me.